Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In his discussion of the cosmological ideas in part 3 of his Prolegomena to Any Future Metaphysics, Immanuel Kant is going to set out 4 antinomies of pure reason in that section, each of which has a thesis, a Satz, a proposition, and then an antithesis, a Gegensatz, a counterproposition to it. And these have to do with the nature of the universe and also with causality, as we're going to see with the others. And the first two that he's going to treat, he calls the mathematical antinomies. And so just a little bit of review, what are these? So the first one runs, the thesis is the world has, as to time and space, a beginning, and then in parentheses, limit, right? The antithesis for that is the world is, as to time and space, infinite. So what do we have there? Clearly, two contradictory propositions. Generally, when we have contradictory propositions, we think that one of them must be true and the other one must be false, so we need to go and figure out which one it is. The second mathematical antinomy runs, the thesis is everything in the world is constituted out of the simple, and the antithesis is there is nothing simple, but everything is composite. So in both cases, we can talk about limitations of, you know, what it is that we can find within the world as we experience it. And you can say, well, you know, these are the sort of things that physicists have great interest in. What are the basic building blocks of the matter that we actually experience and are made of? Does the universe itself end somewhere or does it go on infinitely? Okay, so these are some serious questions. Now, what makes them mathematical antinomies? He says several things. So the first is that they are concerned with the addition or division of the homogeneous, the Gleichartigen. So Gleich means equal or equivalent. So Art is the type of thing. So we're talking about things being of the same sort, right? So if we're talking about matter, matter is all at bottom, at least we assume, the same sort. And notice that it's not addition and subtraction, it's addition or division, which is kind of interesting. And Kant is going to say, okay, these are antinomies because there's a weird kind of contradiction going on here. They are, as he's going to say, founded upon such a contradictory concept, right? Widersprechende Begriff. So a Begriff, a concept, is what we use to make sense out of our experience. Widersprechende, contradicting, right? And we're going to see that it's actually self-contradictory. And if we look up a little bit earlier, just in the same section, we see him saying, contradictory propositions cannot both be false. So contradictory propositions like those, the thesis and antithesis in each of these antinomies, unless the concept lying at the ground of both of them is self-contradictory. So it's not the propositions themselves where the contradiction lies. It's in something which is zum Grunde, at the basis of, at the ground of, namely a self-contradictory concept. He gives as examples, a square circle is round, a square circle is not round. Which of them is true? Well, both of them are actually false. Why? He says, as to the former, it's false, the circle is round, because it's a square circle, it's quadrangular, right? And it's likewise false that it's not round, angular, because it's a circle. Once you've combined self-contradictory things within a concept, then falsity follows from that when you draw these sorts of conclusions. So he says that when we assume a concept like this, two contradictory propositions become false, right? And he's going to, a little bit later, as he's beginning to talk about the other sort of antinomies, he's going to say, in the first, the mathematical class of antinomies, the falsehood of the presupposition consists in representing. So vorstellen is the verb that's used there. It's actually vorstellt, but representing in one concept something self-contradictory. Was sich widerspricht, something that contradicts itself. And he says it consists in representing something self-contradictory. Here's the problem. As if it were compatible, als vereinbar, as if it's able to be unified in this concept. So we're working with concepts themselves that have something weird, something off, something self-contradictory to them, like a square circle. But it's not quite so easy to identify when you say square circle, or to use another example that Heidegger will bring up, wooden iron, right? That's a great example of another self-contradictory concept. So Kant says, all right, we need to explain this. He says, how does it happen that both the thesis and antithesis of the two are false? So he says, time and space are the key here. When I speak of objects in time and space, it is not of things in themselves, of which I know nothing, but of things in appearance, that is, experience, as a particular way of cognizing objects, which is only afforded to human beings. I must not say of that which I think in space or time, that in itself and independent of these my thoughts, it exists in space and time. Why? Because then I contradict myself. Here's where the contradiction is actually going to lie. Why? Space and time, he says, and the appearances within them, their Erscheinungen, right, are only modes of representation, ways in which we represent things to ourselves, or the ways they are represented to us. And he says that they are nothing existing in themselves and outside of my representations. So it's contradictory to say that a mere mode of representation exists outside of our representation, right? We can't have it both ways, you can say. Although we're trying to, and we're not seeing that we do try to do that. It says, objects of the senses, therefore, exist only in experience. So to try to give them a self-subsisting existence apart from experience or prior to it is to represent to ourselves that experience actually exists apart from experience or prior to it. So we've got two different sides to this, you know, representing something to ourselves that is not in our representations and precedes our representations, having experience of what is not in experience and precedes our experience. These are self-contradictory, according to Kant, right? So this allows us now to look at these antinomies. First antinomy is essentially, is the universe limited in space and time? Does it have a beginning? Does it have some border, some boundary that we could reach? Or is it infinite? Is it without any sort of limitations of that sort? Is it eternal? Is it not bounded by space? So he tells us, all right, if we consider the magnitude of the world, it is impossible to declare it infinite or to declare it finite. We can't declare either of these. Why not? Well, what does he mean by that? They're both false, right? So it's not that we can't say the words. It's just that when we make that assertion, or we think about it, we cognize it, or we make that judgment, we are making a false judgment. Why is that the case? It says, neither assertion can be contained in experience. By contained, he means neither of these are things that we can meet with in experience or verify by experience. So he says experience of an infinite space or infinite time elapsed, or of the boundary of the world by an empty space or an antecedent empty time, is impossible. These are mere ideas. And remember that idea in this section has a very important specific meaning for Kant. There are ways in which we sort of project a completion that we can't ever meet with an experience to experience. So he says the magnitude of the world, be it determined in either way, would therefore have to exist in the world apart from all experience. But this contradicts the concept of the world of sense. And what is the concept of a world of sense? Merely a complex of the appearances whose existence and connection occur only in our representations in experience, right? So he says the concept of an absolutely existing world of sense, self-contradictory. So the solution of the problem, whether attempted affirmatively or negatively, is always going to be false. Neither side of the antinomy can actually be asserted in any sort of true manner. So they're both wrong in some sense. But notice that you can make arguments for both of them as well, as people have done in metaphysics up until Kant, and actually after him as well sometimes. So what about the second antinomy, where we're talking about, we're no longer like looking for a limit to the universe or a beginning of time, but we're saying when we drill down, to use, you know, a concept that has crept into our vocabulary these days, and we look at things, I'll use another term, very granularly, right? When we're looking at the things at their basis, are they complex or are they simple? If they're complex, then we can break them down further and further and further. Maybe we can go down infinitely, or maybe we reach some sort of bedrock. Maybe it's atoms, maybe it's quarks, who knows what it is, but we reach that. Kant says, well, this is the same sort of thing. He tells us that divisions of appearances are mere representations, and the parts exist merely in their representation, consequently in the division, that's an impossible experience where they're given, and the division reaches only as far as experience goes. So maybe we could divide further, but our resources for seeing what we're doing end at this point right now. And if you think about the history of theorizing about the basic building blocks of matter, for a long time people were like, well, it's atoms. Then we have subatomic particles. And then we have yet even further subatomic particles, right? And who knows how far down the rabbit hole we're going to go, so to speak. So he says that, here's where the payoff. To assume that an appearance contains in itself before all experience, all the parts which any possible experience can ever reach, is to impute to a mere appearance, which can exist only in experience, an existence previous to experience. So he says, in other words, this is another way of saying it, it would mean that mere representations exist before they can be found in our faculty of representation. This, Kant says, is clearly self-contradictory. The concept itself contradicts itself. And so he says, as also every solution of our misunderstood problem. So with both of these antinomies, he's explaining to us not just that, well, you can make a case for either side, both cases turn out to be false. Why are they false? Because there is a self-contradictory concept that is being smuggled in, assumed, and that's where the problem lies. Now, being aware of this, we can say to ourselves, well, we can't make these sort of declarations either way. We can think about them. We can assume them if we want to, although we're on dangerous ground in doing so, but we can never meet with them in experience, and we can't even rationally deduce them because they're both false, deriving from a self-contradictory, therefore false, concept. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.